Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Emily Kwong from the newsroom. I'm joined by Lisa Bush. She's the executive director of the Sitka Sound Science Center, as well as research director Tori O'Connell. How are you both doing this morning?
Great.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what is a landslide early warning system look like? What does it do?
Well, there could be several different approaches, but I think in general, you want to have some scientific basis to alert people to a heightened risk of a landslide.
And what kind of science are you gathering for that?
Well, that'll be a lot of the discussion at this meeting, but some of it is about ground saturation, current rainfall, wind speed and direction are some of the things that tend to factor into landslides in Southeast Alaska.
Slope
in on especially on our island, which is maybe a little bit different than some of the other areas. So if you knew about current conditions and recent conditions in an area, would you have enough information to alert people to a heightened risk of landslide with some certainty?
And how rare is this kind of system in Alaska, in the United States, in the world? Lisa, do you have a sense of that?
We know of at least one system north of Seattle that related to the train system there that the USGS has helped develop for mudslides.
But Sitka is kind of, would you say it's a bit on the cutting edge when it comes to this kind of science?
Yeah, I mean, generally these kinds of things are developed from up above by the federal government, and they come down to small communities. And so this is pretty cutting edge for a small community to think about developing something like this. Something I wanted to say in regards to what is an early warning system, if you remember, after the landslide 2 years ago, when we would have big rains right after the landslide, the Weather Service issued these
alerts.
There could potentially be a landslide. You know, there's this much rain in the forecast. And then they recognized that they really didn't have enough information to send those out, and they didn't really know how people were receiving that information, and there was just a lot more that goes into
it. You get that and say, what do I do with that information?
Yeah, so they recognized that, and they, backed off from that. But they're interested in this kind of more holistic, comprehensive approach.
We had a landslide very recently out near Valhalla Drive, so all of this is kind of culminating at a good time. But I'm wondering, Tori, if you could talk a little bit about what is the goal of this workshop ultimately and what you hope comes out of it.
Sure. I think what the city has asked us to do is to prepare some advice on what an early warning system might look like for a landslide. I think the city would prefer if someone in an outside agency, National Weather Service, USGS, somebody like that, would broadcast a warning. And so that the community then would have some indication of risk, kind of like a snow day or, we're just getting through hurricane season now, right? So the National Weather Service has hurricane warnings and tornado warnings, flood warnings. So is there a way to have that kind of system enacted regionally or locally for landslides? So our goal is to get these a group of experts together from a variety of different agencies and go over what we know about our area right now and discuss what might be needed, what other pieces of information we need to even start thinking whether you could automate a warning system, and then what next steps would need to be done to have that happen. So practical things like weather stations, what else is needed, and then also technical aspects, how is that communicated on a real-time basis, and then agency involvement. Is there an agency that is interested in stepping into that role? And then we'll also be talking to a social scientist from the University of Delaware who has done a lot of work on the social science of early warning systems. And as we've just seen from some of these recent weather events, you know, there is a big, obviously we're talking about people. So if you ask people to evacuate or not do something about their daily day, and then there isn't a disaster, how does that affect their choices next time? And And do people want to have an early warning that is uncertain?
I think that's an important point.
So the city might want it, but do the citizens want it?
You're in the early stages of an early warning system.
Yeah, exactly.
How to translate some of the science, which is still being gathered. And Sitka is kind of a ground zero in some ways for this in the state, because it sounds like there is no other example.
One thing that I think is interesting is the enthusiasm that we've gotten from the people who are coming to participate in this, people from these different agencies, from the state and the federal government and different communities. But they all say that, this is the very, very early stages of this. Does your community understand that? And I guess, from my perspective, you got to start somewhere. But that, we'll find out more about this over the course of the workshop.
Do you have any sense of what the time frame would be to develop a system like this? When you're inventing a warning system for the first time, is it a 20-year process? Is it a 10-year process?
That's a good question for the workshop participants.
Yeah, that is part of the idea here is when we come together, we're going to say now, in the next 3 days, we're going to do a big brain dump with this particular group about what do you think would be needed to set up the basis for an early warning system for this community, and then what does that look like in terms of what next and what you would need to know next. So I don't think we have an understanding right now whether we're talking about something that's 5 years out, 10 years out, okay, and how much it would cost.
And it'll be interesting, too, to see what the city does with the findings, what kinds of policies or rules they'll develop. And we were talking earlier too about the role that citizens ultimately have to play, because you can develop a system, but will people heed it? I watched some news footage of a cop car driving down the streets of Palm Beach, Florida, telling people to evacuate, but it's ultimately up to citizens to decide whether to act on information. So I guess thinking far ahead, what role can citizens play in this part of the process, if any? And what, as a science center, do you hope comes of this system if it comes to exist?
That's a good question.
Well, I think from this workshop, what we're basically going to have is a idea of how practical this is, and can we take it up to the next level? Mm. So, and I would say probably the next level would be citizen involvement. Is it something that the community wants? So the city can look at this. They can think about what the expert said. Are we talking about $100,000, $500,000, $1 million, $1 billion in terms of what steps are needed to get something that has some level of accuracy in place? And then they can take that to the community and say, is this something that we're interested in pursuing, either as a community or further up the chain to the state, to the federal government, to FEMA?
Mm. One last thing. Who do you expect to be in attendance from? I imagine first responders from the city will probably be there. I know the fire chief, Dave Miller, is planning on being here and is looking forward to the information. Anyone else? Who?
Megan Bozak and Dan Taddock and Michael Harmon, I think, will all be there. And quite a few of the local Forest Service people that really know the most about the area of the landslide here and have done a lot of work on landslides in general. Brennan Carter from the National Park Service will be there. And then we have people coming from Fairbanks, Denver, Seattle. And we are going to have, we're going to go out on an Allen Marine boat on Monday night just to show these out-of-town people kind of the general landscape. Here's where the slides happened. Here's where the communities lay. It's a little bit easier to see that a step back from the actual on-the-site visit. And then on Tuesday, after the presentations wrap up, we'll do an on-the-site visit to the Kramer subdivision and look at that slide.
All right.
And then the rest of the time, we'll just be actually working in working groups with the goal of providing the city a written document by Friday about what this group would recommend for next steps.
I wish you much luck with this work that you're conducting this week, and thanks on behalf of the community, too, for pulling these various folks together. If folks have any questions for you, how can they get in touch?
They can contact me, Tori O'Connell, and my cell phone is 738-4000, and I'll be available the week after the workshop and could talk to people about it.
Great. Thank you both so much for coming in. This is Lisa Bush and Tori O'Connell from the Sitka Sound Science Center.